بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're still discussing Surah An-Naba and the beautiful lessons we can learn from it, the beautiful tafsir of this great surah. And I'll not recap because this would take the full episode once again. However, last couple of episodes, we talked about what Allah Azza wa Jal has prepared for the evil ones, the sinners, the disbelievers, what Allah has prepared for them in hellfire. And we discussed how severe this punishment is, because what was required from them was so little, yet they failed to do so. And it is part of the system of the Quran. Whenever Allah Azza wa Jal mentions the people of hell, He mentions the people of paradise, so that people would not despair, would not give up hope. There is always hope if you believe in Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah tells us in the Quran, إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازًا. Verily for the muttaqeen, there will be a success, that is paradise. So, at-taqwa is to fear Allah Azza wa Jal by refraining from doing sins and by fulfilling your obligations to Allah by doing what He commanded you to do. This is taqwa. So when someone is known as one of the muttaqeen, this means that this is a practicing person, a practicing individual. He does what Allah tells him to do, and he does refrain from what Allah forbids him from doing. So Allah says that verily, for these people, for the muttaqeen, there will be a mafaza. Mafaza comes from fawz, from winning, from success. So there will be a time for them to win, and that is on the Day of Judgment, and there will be a location. There will be a reward for them, and that is paradise. And the people who are described as al-muttaqeen, they were called as such because they left a shield between them and Allah's torment. And that is why the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, اتقوا النار ولو بشق تمرة. That keep a shield, a protection for yourself between hellfire and you, even if you give away half a date in charity. So اتقوا, taqwa, muttaqeen, it's the same root. You have to fear Allah Azza wa Jal and keep a protection from hellfire, from Allah's wrath and torment, by doing what He ordered you to do and refraining from what He told you not to do. So they will be successful in time and in location. What will their reward be? Allah says, إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازًا. What is this? حَدَائِقَ وَأَعْنَابًا. So Allah tells us that part of the paradise that they are rewarded with would be gardens. So gardens, what do we have in gardens? All kind of fruit. What kind of fruit? Any kind your heart desires. And not only that, you have the choice. So this is a bit sour, this is a bit sweet. And they look the same. And it keeps on changing, and the taste keeps on becoming more delicious every time you take a bite. And in our standards, this is not possible, because there is a limit. In paradise, there isn't anything as such. It keeps on going and going and going for eternity. And this blows your mind away. Because the Prophet says, alayhi salatu wasalam, in paradise, there are things that had never crossed a person's heart or mind, nor an eye had seen, nor an ear had heard of. So in this life, everything has an ending, not in the hereafter. In paradise, there's no end. It keeps on getting better and better, to the extent that the Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that every Friday, though there is no day and night, in paradise. There are no days, but there is a particular time which people acknowledge as Friday, as we used to do here in this life on earth. Men go to the masjid. There is no masjid in paradise. So they go to the souk to have fun. And when they go back to their families and wives, Allah sends the northern wind that increases in their beauty and charm. So when they reach their houses, their palaces, their mansions, they look at their wives and say, "By Allah, you are more beautiful than we had left you." And the wives look at the men and say, "By Allah, you are more handsome than when you had left." And this happens every single week till eternity. There's no stopping them. And it keeps on going because things in paradise are not like the things we know of on this earth. So there are gardens filled with every fruit you can think of and those you cannot think of as well. And specifically, there are graveyards. Though there are fruits, but grapes are more beloved to people than any other fruit. So there are gardens and specifically graveyards. And Allah Azza wa Jal says in the following verse, Ayah 33, وَكَوَاعِبَ أَتْرَابًا. Two words. And young, full-breasted, mature maidens of equal age. Atraba. No one is older or younger than the other. And that is why in the authentic hadith, the Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that the age of the people of paradise would be fixed at 33 years of age. So no one is younger, so that no one would feel betrayed or unfortunate. They would all be in the same age. Now Allah Azza wa Jal is describing to us the women of paradise. And unfortunately, due to a number of factors, we would have complaints. We would have women objecting. Why does a man have two wives in paradise? Why does a man have so many hur al-ain when a woman has only one man? Well, you have to look at it holistic. First of all, we always address our sisters by telling them, "Do you think that Allah Azza wa Jal would let you down in paradise? Do you think that Allah is unfair or unjust? Do you think that you will be a bit depressed or sad in paradise?" The answer is definitely no to all these questions. Allah the Almighty is the most fair and just. Allah Azza wa Jal, if He admits you, my sister or my daughter, to paradise, I assure you that you will be the happiest person on earth. Well, actually, you will not be on earth, you will be in paradise. Allah will take all grudges, all jealousy, all hatred, all enmity from your heart. Allah will cleanse it, and it would make you the most satisfied person in paradise. Rest assured. Now, having said that, not only that, having believed in it, first of all, we have to know that the number of females are far greater than the number of males. And this is a known fact. Look around you. You will find always women are more than men. Men die quicker. Men die because of hypertension, illnesses, accidents, wars, among other reasons. So women are more than men. And that is why in paradise, men will get more women. And not only that, it has to be noted that man is the one who is in quest, while a woman is not. How is that? This is what we will try to elaborate on a bit more after this break, so stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Now, just before the break, I gave a statement and people challenged me for it. You said that the man is the one who is in quest. He's the one who is pursuing. He's the one chasing. While a woman is the one who's sought after. Now, having said that, not only that, having believed in it, first of all, we have to know that the number of females are far greater than the number of males. And this is a known fact. Look around you. You will find always women are more than men. Men die quicker. Men die because of hypertension, illnesses, accidents, wars, among other reasons. So women are more than men. And that is why in paradise, men will get more women. And not only that, it has to be noted that man is the one who is in quest, while a woman is not. And this is true. See, if I have a son and I have a daughter, how would I encourage my son to pursue his education and to perfect his work and to become a better person? I would say to him, listen, son, if you do well in school, I'll put you in the best of universities. And if you pass your BS or BA and you graduate, I'll look for the best jobs, and then I will look for the most beautiful, charming woman. And I would encourage my son for this. I would never go to my daughter and tell her, listen, I'm going to look for the most huskier and strongest and fittest and most handsome man for you as a husband. No one does this. Why? Because women, they are bashful. They are shy. We don't talk to women like this. And they don't allow people to talk to them like this. Unlike men, unlike boys, this is what they live for. And that is why the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, when engaging, when proposing, the father goes to his daughter and says, daughter, a man proposed to you by the name of so-and-so. He looks like so-and-so, his job, his family. So what do you think? The Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that the father should display the matter to his daughter, who is a virgin, and her approval is by not saying anything. Why? Scholars say, because she is bashful. When I go to my daughter and say, Abdullah is proposing to marry you, what do you say, my daughter? And she laughs and she looks at the ground or smiles. She doesn't say a thing. I wouldn't go back to him and say, she refused, she didn't say anything. No, the Prophet told us, when she does not comment, this is an indication of her approval. So it shows you that the difference of character between a male and a female, this is in normal conditions. This is in normal societies. Unlike the societies of today, where a woman is liberated from her feminism and she is actually another man. Nowadays, Western women, other men, though the gender is F, but actually what you see and feel is different. I remember once I was talking to a brother and he told me, if you want to marry another man, marry a female from so and so country. He said, because women there are not women. They look like women, but they are actually men. And this is unfortunate. So Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us, listen, in paradise, these are the features of the Huri al-Ain, or of the women among the humans in paradise. He describes them to us because this is what men look for. Women, Allah Azza wa Jal does not describe men to them because this is against their bashfulness and shyness. I'm talking about normal women. And it doesn't make a lot of difference to women, usually. See, men can love more than a woman. By nature, a man can love four, can marry four. This is how Allah created us. While a woman, as they say, a woman needs only one man. She loves only one man. This is how Allah has created her. And as they say, torn between two lovers, feeling like a fool. Yes, because this is not normal for a woman to love two men. She can only by nature love one man. This is how Allah created her. And as I said, this is nature, which is manipulated and changed by the media. And that is why we have a problem with the genders. Allah says, among the things that would be in paradise, وَكَأْسًا دِهَاقًا, and this translates to, and a full cup of wine. It's full. Your cup is always full. No matter how many times you drink of it, it's always full. And why do we say that it is of wine? Because usually people who were practicing, were righteous, were pious, they're deprived of drinking wine and intoxicants in this life. And that is why Allah would reward them, and He would give them all what they want from the wine that they deprived themselves from in this life. They would have it unlimited and for eternity, always full. And this doesn't mean that they don't drink anything else, because we know that there are four rivers, great rivers in paradise. A river of wine, a river of milk, a river of honey, and a river of water, with characteristics that are beyond your imagination. However, this full cup is most likely of wine. And that is why Allah says afterwards in Ayah 35, لَا يَسْمَعُونَ فِيهَا لَغْوًا وَلَا كِذَّابًا. They would not listen to لَغُو, nor shall they hear therein lying. So two things that they will not hear, لَغُو and lying. What is لَغُو? لَغُو is anything that is beside the truth. So dirty, false, evil talk, all of this would be considered part of لَغُو. Slandering, swearing, shouting, saying bad words, this is لَغُو. And كِذَّابَ, lying, saying lies. And take a step back and look at the effect of wine in this life. When you get drunk, what do? You do everything you don't want to do when you're sober. So you lie, you swear, you curse, you say bad things, you say dirty things. Some of the Arabs used to drink wine. And one time he urinated and he drank his urine and washed himself with it. And when he was sober, he said, by Allah, I would never do this again. I would never drink if it's going to do this with me. And another one, a Muslim, was intoxicated, urinated, and performed wudu from his urine. And he said, Allahumma ij'alni min at-tawwabin wa ij'alni min al-mutatahhirin. This is what we say after performing wudu. Make me among those who repent and make me among those who purify themselves. When you're intoxicated, you do things you could not imagine. And this is the greatest and biggest gift, or among the biggest gifts of Allah Azza wa Jalla to you. Your sanity, your intellect, your consciousness. If you, by will, consume something that takes this all away from you, you're not worthy of being human. In paradise, nothing of this exists. Allah Azza wa Jal tells us that when you drink this wine of paradise, it is so sweet, it has no hangovers. You will not wake up the following morning having headaches and wanting to throw up. It is so sweet. It is so perfect. You don't have to ask which year it was. You just drink it, enjoy it, and no consequences afterwards. No lying, no swearing, no cursing. In paradise, you will not have any of these negative feelings. All what you have is total perfection in feeling the brotherhood between you and those sharing paradise with you. So all of these beautiful things, the gardens, the maidens, the wine, everything you see, all of this, جَزَاءً مِّن رَبِّكَ عَطَاءً حِسَابًا, a reward from your Lord, an ample, sufficient gift. And this is a reward from Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, if you have a neighbor who is middle-aged, doesn't have a lot of money, and he comes and gives you a gift, would it be the same when a multi-millionaire or a billionaire comes and gives you a gift? Would it be the same when the head of state gives you a mansion or a piece of land or a farm or something that is so expensive and worthy of his level and status? So what is given is dependent on the giver, not on the recipient. And that is why it was reported that one of the Salaf once was asked for charity by a beggar. So he wrote to his accountant, give that beggar 100 dinar. Now we have dirhams and we have dinars, which is a lot. In today's calculation, maybe it's like 10,000 euros. So the accountant thought that there was a mistake in writing. So he went to his master and said, maybe you meant a 10 dirhams, not 100 dinars. He said, no, I meant what you read. He said, master, this beggar, if you give him 1 dirham, he would be happy. Why give him 100 dinar? And the master was angered by that and said, we give them in accordance to our status, not in accordance to their status. So the giver's reward depends on his status. So if Allah Azza wa Jal gives you a reward from him, an ample and sufficient gift, how great that reward would be. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.